Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Let's talk. John Brown.
I am not an empire. I am a free man.
Yes, indeed. The prisoner. Set free. I'm not a number. I'm a free man with my own free will to be the international man of misery, Mr. Grumpy. Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, whatever you are identifying as this morning, we are joined by the present that puts a glint in our eye, a smile in our hearts, a song in our feet, and an undefinable pain in our lower intestines. How are you? How are you, Grubs?
I'm all right, thanks. After that build-up, yeah, all right, not bad.
I thought I'd give you a bit of the Vegas, you know, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to complain about the world in general. You're looking very sprightly, I must say.
Thank you. Well, it's because I've not left the house.
How is the chair, by the way? How is the award-winning chair? Is it all good? You know,
the award-winning chair is just remarkable. It's just the best thing ever. It's all singing, all dancing, charges your phone, everything.
So
it's got a little
what? Come on, I came in at the wrong point. Then
it's got a little port where you plug your phone in and it charges the phone. It's just a sort of electric chair, but without the killing you.
So. So, I mean, do you still participate in the world of poker online?
I actually do. I used to play for reasonably sized high stakes.
Yeah,
and when the dreaded COVID came in, all the games stopped. We used to play in private games and things like that, as you know. They all stopped because obviously you couldn't go out. So it went on to online poker, which I don't really like. Whereas I'm quite happy to sit in a room with a bunch of strangers playing for a reasonable amount of money.
Chocolate buttons, obviously, Mike. Chocolate buttons, just in case anyone's listening. Yeah.
Well, it's too late now. They've all closed down anyway. but I wouldn't do that online because I'm not quite sure how many people can be playing in the same room on a computer, on different computers with VPNs, software, all the different things. So I play very, very little stakes. I play 2 and 3 euro tournaments that start around about 11, 12 o'clock at night. I started playing again, which is only about 6 months ago. I deposited 20 euros to mess about with.
Yeah.
And at last count, it's 550.
Ooh, blimey. I mean, the only time famously that I ever, because I used to play, what was it, PKR, had the avatars that moved around because I'm that shallow. And the only time I ever won any money was in a tournament and I fell asleep. And when I woke up, everybody else had like busted and gone out. And I, you know, I'd been asleep because that was back in the day. You know, and I came back 3 hours later, played a hand, was out immediately. But I was like, I think 50 cents up. So that was my bit, yeah.
Yeah, no, so, yeah, I played the 2 euro tournament the other night and won 110 euros, 2 euro. That's good return on investment, 200 and something players.
So,
I don't play Hold'em. I play a game called Omaha.
Ah, okay.
You've got to be with it to... Yeah, because there's so many different things. Anyway, this is boring to people.
I know, but I just wonder, do you actually leave the chair now? Because you could actually play from the chair. That was my thing. If you've got a plug in there.
No, I take the computer with me. I, I take it to bed wherever I need to play because I play till like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Does Mrs. Grumps just leave then and banish you to the spare, you know, the West Wing of Grump Town?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Which brings me on to something very good because it segues into one of my grumps.
It segues.
Which is I play, yeah, which is about when the next day starts. So I go to bed at 3 o'clock. As far as I'm concerned, the next day doesn't start at midnight. It starts when I get up.
You go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
I used to go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I've been raving and doing various bits and pieces to myself.
I'm playing poker.
Ah, okay, right, okay, so.
That's what I'm saying, that's the whole thing. So one of my big grumps is that, you know, and it happened, what happened, and I found out this the hard way, was many, well, I'm going to go back 60 years. I came to Spain with my girlfriend at the time. And there was one flight a week and you landed at Madrid and then you got some kind of shuttle plane to Madrid to Malaga, which was a wooden hut at the time.
Right.
And our flight home was at, the flight was, a certain time on, let's say the 20th of July.
Right.
Or the 20th of August at 5 o'clock. In the morning. So the 20th of July came and then we were sitting around and one of us said, you do realise that we've missed a flight because it's the date changed at 12 o'clock. We got to the 20th and was waiting for 5 o'clock in the morning again or 11 o'clock at night or whatever it was. And because it was a weird time, we hadn't realised that because obviously at midnight it's the 21st.
Yeah.
So we missed the flight, and the only flight was a week later. We had to wait another week to fly back to England.
Was that a good thing or a bad? Was that a good thing or a bad thing? Do you think, in you know, reflection?
Well, I can't remember, but it was. I just remember that ever since then I've been annoyed at the fact that the clock changes when I'm not ready. You know, I'm.
Are we going to get Senka time, basically? We're going to have to work. You have Central European time, you're going to have British BST, and we should have MST, Michael Senka, GNT, grumpy mean time, because it's got to be mean time, hasn't it?
No, the thing is very simple.
Yeah.
I go to bed, when I get up, it's the next day. Whatever time that is, it's the next day. Right. Anybody else can sort it out. As far as I'm concerned, the next day doesn't start until I get out. End of.
Quite simple.
No big deal.
Begs the question, what time do you normally arise from your slumbers then, if you get a bed at 3?
Well, I don't get up till 9, 10.
Okay.
I still get 7 hours.
So
minus getting up in the middle of the night times when you get to my age.
But of course, indeed, yes, indeed, that's always a good one, isn't it? Yes, and so
I saw something very quite amusing this morning. Was defining how do you know when you're getting old? I should tell you.
Yep.
When you buy the same where you buy your clothes from the same place that you buy your groceries.
Yeah, I'll go for that one. I've obviously got the problem because I used to live, you know, in splendid isolation, and I now live in a house with three females, of course, my friend and my two goddaughters, and that brings, if you do go down at 3 in the morning, luckily we don't share a bathroom, but it can be still quite, it keeps you on your toes, should we say, if you go down in your resplendent sort of, you know, your elephant gym jams or something like that, because you might bump into a teenager at some point.
Well, that's not going to happen here. There's no teenagers. It's not, they're not allowed.
You've got a resplendent white T-shirt, which makes me think you must have got it dry cleaned.
No, my darling wife does all the laundry here and the ironing. It's fantastic. But the dry cleaning is a new thing. What happened? We did the annual or the biannual duvet covers and all the heavy duty stuff that goes on the bed for the winters.
Yeah.
And what happened was Patty decided to do it nice and early. So in July, she took all the stuff to the dry cleaners to be prepared for the winter and said to them, I'm in no hurry. I'll pick it up in October. So it's given plenty of time to do it.
Yeah.
Right? We go back at the beginning of October to pick up the duvet covers and all the other bits and pieces, and the bedspreads and all the things that have been dry cleaned, only to find that there was some duvet missing, which is really strange because, well, it's, you know, we use this dry cleaners all like a lot of times. And Patty said to them, well, where is it? They said, we don't know. I said, well, you know, you must know. It came in the bag and you've got everything else and you've got the pillowcases. Where's the duvet? And they said, well, we don't know because we sub it out. They give it out to another dry cleaners. And they said, well, so who's lost it? How we give it to you. There's nowhere here that says that you can give it to somebody else. We come to you because we like the way you do things.
Yeah.
Except you're not doing it. And where is it? And like she sort of got the Spanish shrug. You know, well, we'll look for it.
That's nice. That's
at
nice
this look. Moment, at this moment in time, you know, it's like it's lost. But if it never left the premises, how can it be lost? But what they're saying is our stuff got bundled up into the back of someone's car and taken to somewhere else, actually, which is nearer. So they told us where it went to, which is actually nearer to where we live than they are. So they've lost it.
Right.
We're now waiting for things to happen. Now we're talking about insurance claims. So now we have to go to where we bought the original ones, which luckily Patty remembers, and try and find out how much to claim for. It's going to take ages. But I just think if people are going to sub stuff out or they're going to send it to someone else, they should tell you.
Yeah, sure they should. Of course, that's like going to one of your favourite restaurants and somebody saying, okay, well, here's the starter, here's the main course. But unfortunately, your creme brulee comes from Paco's down the road and he fell off his bike on the way down, so therefore we don't know what happened to your creme brulee.
Well, no, but actually that happens in restaurants, something very similar, where they show you a picture of a fabulous dessert. They say, oh, creme brulee with this, that, and the other. And they bring out the one pre-packed from Mercadona. But, you know, that does happen. You know, they describe this beautiful dessert and it's pre-packed, pre-cooked from a factory. Well, that's not what I bought. I want the handmade.
So with a blowtorch, but
absolutely.
What you did though, Grumps, is at the beginning you said, or Patty said, "We're in no hurry," which is like getting into a Moroccan taxi and saying "vite." I mean, if you say "no hurry" to a Spanish business, they, or especially an Andalusian business, it'd be coming back next year, Grumps. If you, we're in no hurry.
No. We said we were going to pick it up in the beginning of October. We set a time. So it wasn't exactly like, oh, we'll send it out quick so that we'll get it back for them in the thing. We had plenty of time to do it on the premises. Anyway, that's that. So I shall keep you informed of what happens.
Is there anything? Is it sentimental value? This duvet. I mean, has it got the Mickey Mouse?
No, it's a point of principle.
Oh, right then. Okay. Well,
it's just duvet gate. I'll keep you informed. Right.
Am I Dustin Hoffman and you're Robert Redford as the reporters of this? Is that how we go with all the president's men?
Have you looked at Twitter this morning? Where I put on a thing for the show today that we're doing.
Anyway,
I put a photograph on. I wanted to see something.
Yeah.
And when I put the photograph on, there's an option to turn it into a video. It's a still. I'm not moving, but it's turned into me turning around, moving, blah, blah, blah.
Right? Good grief.
So that's a still photograph done by AI, and now it's moving. Got it?
Yeah, got it, yeah.
Right, so no big deal, but I just wanted to talk about it. Because what's happened now is photographic and video evidence is now almost totally worthless.
Right.
Because you can change in it. There's one, I did one the other day where there was the three of us, Patty, Sarah and myself, and it turned it into a video of us moving, of me standing up, which I can't do.
Yeah.
All right, so what I'm saying is, like, God forbid something was happening to turn around and say, well, Michael Senker was doing this so-and-so, and I say, well, it couldn't have been me because I can't stand up. And they produce a film and video that says, well, there you are, standing up. And I'm like, that's not me.
Yeah.
that's AI. And AI now, I'm looking on AI and I see singers singing with other singers that have been dead for 50 years doing a duet, and it's absolutely seamless. I mean, and I don't know whether there's anything that the authorities can use to check whether it's AI or not, but it's becoming it. So CCTV now is practically worthless. If you wanted to use it as evidence in court, I can see that very soon a very clever lawyer will turn around and say, well, that could be AI.
Well, you're going to have to get sort of experts in AI to anything that's photographic evidence. But just one thing I will say, and you're wearing that jacket again that you were wearing on the jumping up and down, the Ibiza one. But obviously the thing that gives it away is that you are smiling. You know, you're giving a toothy grin. It might be trapped wind. Because I've seen adverts for this, because if you're on the social media, you get bombarded with it, and it's like, bring your grandparents back, it's almost to life, because you'll have these old sepia pictures, and you can get a 5 minute, like video of your granddad or something like that.
But did I show you the one where I'm doing the whole conversation in Romanian?
Yes, you did, of course. Yeah, briefly.
I did a whole, it was me talking in Romanian, which I don't speak.
Really?
But in my voice. I struggle with English, right? and to speak in this fluent Romanian, that conversation, so you're a Romanian spy. Of course you're Romanian. No one can talk Romanian as good as that. That was me.
It's going to be really interesting on the dating apps, isn't it? When you sort of like get your Romanian bride and she speaks perfectly. Like, darling, I would love to see you and come over and spend some time with you. And then she gets there and she can't say a word.
I just find it. I just don't like any of it. The whole digital thing now is becoming, this digital currency, everything. It's becoming very scary. And I go back to COVID times when we were doing the radio show then, and I said this whole thing about having to have the vaccine, having to have digital information about everybody, it's becoming a real problem. And one of the things which is going to be a big problem is if they push for withdrawing cash.
Yeah. Because
you've got situations, and I've actually happened to a friend of mine who went to the bank to draw out 3,000 euros to buy a car. And when it was his money in his bank, he paid tax. It's in his bank account. It's there for everybody, all the officials, to see if they want to see it. And he wanted to draw out 3,000 cash. And they said to him, what is it for? And just out of principle, he said, it's none of your business.
Absolutely.
And they said, well, you're not having the money then.
I've got a call coming in. Hang on a second. I'm going to have to, now, because of the technology we're using, I'm going to have to translate this call. So bear with me. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your grumps today?
Yeah, hi. This is John in Mehat.
Hi, John.
I just did a bit of some research for Michael on ChatGPT, which is AI, and it says AI cannot always determine with absolute certainty whether a photo has been edited.
Right. Okay. I'll just translate this because Michael can't hear this. So AI cannot say. What did it say again? It says
cannot always determine with absolute certainty.
AI can
a photo. Yeah.
AI cannot always determine with absolute certainty, or you cannot always
whether a photo has been edited.
Right, okay, super. All right. Thank you for your call in on that one, yeah?
Okay, bye.
Thanks very much indeed. Because you can't hear that, can you, Mike? You can't hear what's
no.
Called. Cool. Yeah. So that was saying we can't tell with absolute certainty, which makes things very interesting. But, you know, I mean, going back to the cash thing, it's not going to work in. When you go traveling to. If you go to, I don't know.
Your man on program.
If you go to Thailand or something like that, they're not going to want to swipe your card. You're going to need cash, aren't you, Grox?
No. But I what I checked was, is it legal for them to do it? And the fact of the matter is, there is no rule, nothing in law that says that they can ask you legally what you need that cash for.
Oh,
if
right,
it's your money.
Yeah.
It's your money. They've got no right whatsoever to ask what it's for. If they feel that I'm doing something dodgy, then report me to the police. But then I don't want some kid behind the counter in whatever bank he belonged to telling me I can't draw my own money out. And that is happening. It's happening in the UK and it's happening in Spain where people are being stopped from drawing their money out. And because if you use cash, let me give you an example.
Please do.
If I go into a place and I pay 50 euros on a card, they don't get 50 euros. They get 48 euros because that's there's a charge, right?
Yeah.
And then if they've got to pay a bill, the next one they use that same thought that what's left in their 48 to pay someone. So after about 20 transactions, that 50 euros has gone in charges. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. There's commissions and charges and the whole thing. Yeah.
Right. Now, if I give you a 50 euro note, right here, I'll give you an example. A man goes into a hotel. Right, and he says, I want to book all the rooms here for a wedding. And the man says, okay. He said, do you want to have a look around? He says, yeah, no problem. You can have a look around. I want a 50 euro deposit. So he says, okay. So he gives him the 50 euros, and he wanders off around this large hotel to have a look at all the different rooms. And the guy thinks to himself, that's handy. Got 50 euros. I'll go next door and pay my restaurant bill. So the hotel manager goes next door and he pays the restaurant bill. Gives him the 50. He said, how much do I owe? He said, 50 euros. He gives him the 50 euros. The restaurant guy thinks, oh, I'll go and pay the pub bill, goes around the corner, says, how much do I owe you? He says, it's 50 euros. He gives him the 50 euros. Right. The next thing goes to another store where
the dry cleaners, perchance. The dry cleaners.
He goes to the dry cleaners and he says, how much do I owe you? He said, 50 euros. Gives him the 50 euros. And then the dry cleaner decides to go to this lady of the night who he owes some money to, and she says, how much...
That's where your duvet is gone. That's where your duvet is gone.
Give me the 50 euros, right? So it gives him the 50 euros, and the lady of the night goes to the hotel where she owes money for a room, and she gives the man in the hotel the 50 euros and says, here's the money for the room. The man comes downstairs and says... I think it's very nice. Thank you for letting me back. And the man gives him his 50 euro deposit back. So that 50 euros has gone around all these people and actually no money's changed hands.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And obviously, because it's not on a card, they're not taking the cut because that 50 euros would have been less.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's physical. It's physical.
Yes.
It's a technique. I mean, it's a conundrum, but if you think about it, the same 50 euros has gone to every single person because it actually exists.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know, but it's a conundrum. You know, to explain that nobody's cost anybody any money, but it's just an interesting thing that, you know, but you know, you're going into places now to pay for something for a euro or 3 euros and the shopkeeper's getting 275.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so everybody's getting a cut. And in the end, it's worthless.
I mean, I remember when they went after some terrorist thing, we had to go into our banks to say, this is actually me, and I'm not an international, you know, I'm not an international evil person. So I had to go chop up to my bank in the Pueblo in the hills and go, it's me. And they went, yeah, very good. We know that's you, because they were worried about people running money through their accounts. Now, if you look at my account, Grumps, you would know that there's no way, you know, I mean, I got hacked recently on my social media, and it was like, if they're doing it for financial gain, they've got a very, very sorry, sort of a very barren, sort of tumbleweed-filled account to look at there. So there you go.
Yeah, no, it's, look, at the moment, everything is virtual assistants. You know, you're trying to book an appointment for somewhere. Press A, press B, press C. All these things are going on, and then the virtual assistant then refers you to an app that you should have on your phone, and the bloody app doesn't work. You know, I've got so many apps on my phone that they decide what I want to know, and the thing that I need to know is not covered by their artificial intelligence. It's just not covered. It's not in what I want to know. So I think I told you the other day when I'm changing my insurance. It was so difficult to change my insurance to get through to the right department. I finished up telling them I had an accident. It's the only way I could get them to call me back. And I told them I wanted to cancel my insurance. So...
Yeah, I mean, they're all this coming in saying, and I say, apparently, we have reached a point where there are more AI-generated posts on social media. This is from... we've reached a point where there are more AI-generated posts than real ones.
I reckon that's absolutely true. This bot thing is, I mean, how many phone calls missed calls you get from mysterious numbers, which are just trying to find out whether your phone number's live. You know, they don't want to talk to you. They're telling you to get back to them on WhatsApp, and they've got jobs for you, and there's this, that, and the other. I mean, constant. I'm getting phone calls up to 10 or 11 o'clock at night from bots, from robots. You know, so anyway.
I mean, I turn my phone off at 8 o'clock at night, because unless you are, you know, and you can reach me any other way, but because, you know, unless you are literally on fire, when I'm offline, because I don't want to have all that, you know, at 11 o'clock at night, because I go to bed probably about 9:30 whilst you're just limbering up, you see.
I'm watching, do you watch any of the talent shows on like America's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent or anything like that?
Do you see this big pin that I'm sticking in my eye? I've got
I'll put you down as a maybe.
Yeah, put me down as a don't know. Yeah, put me down as a don't know. I can't stand that stuff. Go on.
I love them.
Do you?
Right. Yeah. I love them, yes. Yeah. I'm not in the majority, but not in my house anyway. So... they have something there called the golden buzzer.
Yeah.
So, and one of the judges, every judge each week is allowed the golden buzzer, and they, as the act finishes, they have the choice of pressing the golden buzzer, putting them through directly to the next round or the semi-finals or whatever.
Okay.
But it's wrong. They do it wrong. I need to get in touch with them and tell them to do it right.
Okay.
Because... they should do the golden buzzer at the end so that every act gets a chance for the golden buzzer. Because there's 10 acts on.
Yeah.
And the third act is someone considers to be the best act so far. They get the golden buzzer and they get put through direct to the next round. They don't have to go through the telephone, whatever it is.
Which is run by bots, obviously, just calling in for the numbers.
Yeah, so... what I'm saying is, at the end, after the 10 acts, the judge that has got the golden buzzer should then choose, out of the 10 acts you've seen, which one should go through. Because if you do it on the third act or the second act, the other seven don't have a chance.
You've gone off too early, as the saying goes.
Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so they shouldn't use their golden buzzer when the third act comes, because they might be juggling, I don't know, three flaming chainsaws, and then somebody comes and they juggle seven chainsaws and, you know, and the blancmange. Yeah.
No, but that's it makes sense. Why would you do it? Because every other act sits there, so it doesn't matter what how good we are, we're not going to go through, because it's already gone.
It's the backstories that get me, Mike. It's the backstories that get me.
It's the same. I've had the same thing ever since I went to a do, and they drew the raffle, right? And they gave the third prize, but they did it in reverse order. So the first ticket out was the third prize. And I said, no, you got it all wrong. You can't give the third prize first.
Yeah, because they'll get the best thing. Yeah.
Because you bought a ticket to buy to win the first prize. And if you're not in the draw, so the first prize, the first raffle ticket that comes out is the winning raffle ticket.
On that bombshell, we're running out of time. Mike, great to speak to you. Have a great weekend. I was getting so hot up about the golden buzzer. Mike Senker, as always, great to see you. I'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Well, okay, maybe.